Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to take a quick drink of water. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. First thing, I want to say thank you to everybody who came out today and cleaned up the outside of the church. Praise the Lord. It's always good to keep a church in good looking order. Amen. And we know that when we take care of the house of God, He takes care of our house. Praise the Lord. But it's important that we do those things. And I'm thankful that you all came out and volunteered your time to do so. Praise the Lord. But tonight we're going to preach a message, praise God, called Abundant Life. Hallelujah. I hope you're excited. Amen. You know, it's been a nice day out. It was a good this time of year. So it was funny, we were talking about one time that one thing that we have to face in this area is we have to contend with people when it's bad weather, but we have to contend with people when it's nice weather too. But we know we're not going to be a church that's moved by the weather. We're just going to believe that God, we know we come to church for good things and God's doing great things. But tonight's message is really important for us. You know, there's something in my, that settled in my spirit recently about some understanding about this area and some need here. Amen. And you know, when God sends people anywhere, He sends them according to where there's a need. You know, I love in the book of Acts, it tells us that, you know, they decided that they were going to go to one town and the Holy Spirit stopped them, and they decided they were going to go to another town and the Holy Spirit stopped them. And then finally, Paul had a vision and sent them to Macedonia, praise the Lord. And they determined that when Paul saw this vision, that it was the Lord calling them. It wasn't God stepping out and saying, hey, come here. But it was, He gave him through a vision, you know. And I just love that because God overlooked some areas for a reason, but He also didn't overlook another area for a reason. And you know, when God's doing something, when He sends people somewhere, He sends them for a reason. Yeah. Amen. And there's something, there's things that this church have meant to, this town, this area is meant to get from this church. Amen. God has planted us here for a reason. He's planted us here for good things. Amen. And of course, there's a lot of good things in the Bible, but sometimes there's specific needs in specific areas. Actually, there's always specific needs in specific areas. Amen. If you live in Western New York or Northeastern Pennsylvania, we're looking down, you're looking up. Praise the Lord, however you want to look at it. But if you're in this area, you know that one in the wintertime, we have certain needs like snow plowing that you don't have in Southern California. You don't have it in Hawaii generally. I don't think they plow too much in Hawaii. They probably don't even have plow trucks in Hawaii, praise the Lord, or Southern California for that matter, or Mexico or anywhere else. But there's different needs for different areas. And so there's costs. And when I mean costs, it's not necessarily just financial costs, but there's a cost to living in a certain area. Amen. There's needs that people need to have. Amen. There are certain things and places you can't go based on what you have. You know, I grew up in Jamestown, New York, and Jamestown, New York was kind of centrally located. It was kind of built around these other areas that could be reached. It was kind of a stop in between. You know, you had Syracuse to the north and Buffalo to the north, and you have Pittsburgh to the south, and Cleveland to the west. Amen. I'm trying to get my bearings here, get it all right. And then of course Albany to the east. And here you had Jamestown was a really great location in between to funnel things through and whatever. And I used to work in a factory that was placed there, we were always told it was placed there just for that reason, because it was in the middle of all these places. And so you're getting steel from one place and you're shipping things out to another place. It wasn't far from Lake Erie and stuff like that. So there's different needs in different areas. Amen. And God's doing something very specific in anywhere that He's working. And of course, salvation is the ultimate goal for all men and women anywhere in the world. It doesn't really matter. But beyond salvation, there's other aspects of life that we need to live. And this is something that I think a lot of Christians fail to see, is that God has more for us than salvation. Amen. Salvation, of course, is wonderful. I never downplay salvation. I never say that salvation isn't a great and wonderful thing. Of course it is. It's an exciting thing. But if we stop at salvation, that would have been like Jesus stopping at the cross. Amen. Us stopping at salvation is like Jesus stopping at the cross. We know that the greatest work that Jesus did didn't happen until after the cross. The cross was wonderful. I mean, praise God for the cross and the shed blood of Christ, but he still had to go, he still had to lead captivity captive. He still had to put the ministry offices into place, and he still had to ascend to heaven. Amen. And then that's where our victory was. Praise the Lord. And now the Bible says that he makes intercession for us. He's there making intercession. What is that? It's one pleading for us. He's standing there on our behalf before the Father. Amen. Every time you do something stupid, praise the Lord, Jesus is up there pleading on your behalf. Aren't you glad? Amen. And I just love that. I love that we need to understand this. As Christians, we need to understand that God provided so much more than salvation. Salvation, again, would not ever take away from it. It's a wonderful thing. We're excited about salvation, but I'm excited for all God has. You know, I was saved many years ago, but I lived hell on earth after I was saved. I knew I was going to heaven because I had accepted Jesus. I knew that he was the Son of God. I did the best that I knew how, which wasn't really all that great, praise the Lord. But, I knew that God had more for us. And so this is something that we have to understand. And I believe that this is part of what our part is here in Corey, is to bring that other aspect of things, an abundant life. God wants us to have an abundant life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Abundance, the way God looks at abundance, is so much more than what we look at. You could take the richest person, you could take somebody like a Bill Gates or a Donald Trump, somebody who's got tons and tons and tons of money, amen? They got so much money that it wouldn't even hurt them to share a whole lot of it, amen? I'm not saying that they have to, I'm just saying that it wouldn't hurt them, you know what I mean? They got so much money, they could lose, I've even heard of this before. I know of people in the stock market in one day have lost $100,000, and that's just part of their life. Yeah. I know of somebody like this, amen. I wish I knew him better, praise the Lord. I wish they were closer to me, but that's okay. Praise God, I got my Heavenly Father. But you know, you have somebody like that, somebody who can misplace $100,000 and not think anything. I can't even fathom that, can you? Praise the Lord. I'm not at that place, but you know this, it's somebody who can, you know that they're wealthy, but my point to saying all that is they still don't understand abundance the way God does. They still don't understand the things of God the way God does. You know, I love, my wife was talking about, the abundance pouring out, when she was reading about the tithe there in Malachi 3:10, about running over. And of course, I always, whenever I read that, whenever I hear that scripture, I always think about what God plants. You know, my wife was peeling potatoes this morning. She sent my daughter down in the basement to get some potatoes out of the bag. And my daughter come back up quite grossed out. And she's like, there's something in the bag. She didn't know what it was. Well, if you've ever seen potatoes that have sat in a bag for a while, they get these, the roots come out, amen? And they were all, because they haven't seen sunlight or anything, like they're all white and, just kind of gross looking. It looked like snakes or worms or something gross in there. But it was just roots. It was nothing wrong. It was just potato roots, amen? But my wife was cutting them up, and we were talking about how, like a potato, it's so interesting that you can just, you could take a chunk of that and put it in the ground and you get a bunch more potatoes. And of course, when I was, like I was saying, when I think of God and I think of when we read Malachi 3:10, I always think about the abundance of apples and oranges and stuff, just fruit on trees and how there's so much that just falls to the ground and never gets eaten, and that's the way our God is. Our God is a God of abundance. Everything he's made to produce so much more, way beyond what anyone could even consume. There's more food being produced on this earth than any human could consume. That's just the truth of the matter. And God has made it to be that way, amen? Anybody who's ever had a garden knows this. I love the garden stands. You drive by it, and what's one thing you always see? You always see tables full of zucchinis and squash. And a lot of times it's cheap. Sometimes it's even free. Just take this off my hands, amen? If you have a garden, you know that there's people that are always giving out certain things. Why? Because it's just abundance. And, of course, God designed all that. And so we have to understand our Heavenly Father through that, amen? But I know you want to get to some scripture, so we're going to hop over to John 10:10. Amen. Scripture should be familiar to you. It's one of probably my favorite scriptures. And man, I wish I could just preach on this every single day because I love, well, I can. I can just preach to my own life. Amen. I can preach to my situation, and so can you. Amen. Glory to God. If you ever have a desire to preach, just start doing that. Just start preaching. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You don't need an audience to preach. Preach to yourself. Preach to the angels. Preach to the heavens. Preach to your backyard. Preach to your car. Preach to your dog. Praise the Lord. I love Jesse Duplantis. He was saying this. He said, I'll preach to a dog if he stands there long enough. Hallelujah. I just love that. I love that idea of just preaching, preaching, preaching. You know, the Bible tells us, preach the word. So just start preaching. Amen. Start changing your life by the preach. Amen. Praise the Lord. John 10:10. Praise God, hallelujah, says the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen. Praise the Lord. That word abundantly, I know you want to know what it means. Amen. It means in the sense of beyond. I like that. In the sense of beyond. Beyond. Whatever it is in the sense of beyond, amen? We think about space, and one reason that space excites people so much is because there's so much beyond. Yeah. That's what abundantly is. Abundant is beyond. It's in the sense of beyond, beyond your reach, beyond your vision, beyond what you know, amen? Praise the Lord. I love when he told the Israelites to go, you know, the land that he sent them into, it was more than they could just see. They had to go out and they had to walk the land. And he said, he didn't say everywhere you see, you could have. He said, every place that your foot shall touch, you shall have. It shall be yours. Amen. So as far as you can walk. See, that's an abundant God. Let's not forget that our God does not change. An abundant God to the Israelites is even more abundant to us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It means superabundant in quantity or superior in quality. By implication, excessive. Hallelujah. Excessive. Listen. Now, when I say this, it's going to, and maybe, get some a little bit, they might not like hearing it, but God wants us to live an excessive life. Yeah. America, we live in an excessive nation. Aren't you glad? Yeah. You know, some people, they like to dumb it down. I'm not going to put top end limits on it, but I'll just say this. We live in an excessive nation. Amen. We have smartphones. We have cars. Most of us have more than one car in the driveway. Praise the Lord. We have more than one TV in the house. You have more than one radio usually. There's more than one of everything. You know what I mean? One of the things I remember, I've been in the building trades over the years and stuff like that. And if you go into an old house, they have like one plug per room, maybe. Yeah. You know what I mean? They'll have one light, one plug per room, one switch that runs one light. It's real simple, amen? But now when they build houses, they go and they go nuts. I mean, you look in just this room. You know, we don't have a whole lot more, we have a lot of lights, but there's not a whole lot more need for controls in this room. I mean, we still only need to really flip on one or two switches to get the lights to come on, amen? But look at them on the wall. If you look around the room, we got all these switches. We got four back there. We got four up here. We it's just excessive. We have all these outlets. And why do they put in all these outlets? Well, they put in all these outlets in your room. Now you have to have, I think code says that you have to have an outlet within 6 feet of reach from every other outlet. And so there's six feet or something like that between outlets, you know, or no more than that. And that's so you have enough places to plug in all your excessiveness. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I was in Rio de Janeiro, they didn't need all those plugs because they didn't have stuff to plug in. You know, but they're expecting that people today are going to have things and stuff like that. They're going to need these lights and these kind of lights. You're going to have, you know, I even have lights in my house and in the church. We have lights that you can control from your phone. Amen. That's excessive, you know, but it's just a common thing. You know, you go to Home Depot. If you ever go to Home Depot or a store like that, you know, they're not built on high-end stuff. You understand that. Even the high-end things at Home Depot are low-end things in the building world. They just are. They're not, you know, the things that you get, people that are putting in million-dollar houses, they're not shopping at Home Depot like you and I are. Amen? But you go to Home Depot, you get a lot of nice things. There's a lot of excess. That's where we live. We live in a world of excess. We have, you don't just have one news agency, you have 20 or whatever. And then you have all these little ones popping up all the time. You don't have, you know, one kind of gas station, you got hundreds of gas stations. You don't have one kind of store you can shop at, you got hundreds of them, you know. different options, praise the Lord. So we understand excess, but we need to understand it the way God wants us to. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. I love the Amplified Version says, to the full till it overflows. To the flow, till the full till it overflows. Praise the Lord. I'm having a hard time talking tonight. God is an overflowing, abundant God. We need to understand this. This needs to get into us. We need to be people who think like our Father. Amen. Why do we train our kids in the way that they should go? Because we want them to do the things that we know work. Amen. I'm 42 years old now, and I've just started to learn a little bit. Amen. But I know a lot more than any of my kids do. Praise God. So what do? As they're growing up, I try to teach them things. Amen. Well, our Heavenly Father is the same way. He knows way more than you and I know. He knows so much more. He has a super abundant more knowledge, praise the Lord, than any one of us does, and he wants to impart it to us. Praise the Lord. So we have to understand that we are supposed to look like our Heavenly Father. Amen. He would not have made us in his image, in his likeness, if he did not intend our lives to look like his life does. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. The opposite of abundance is a life is stolen, killed, or destroyed. Yeah. Isn't that what he said? The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if that's what you're experiencing life is, if that's what your experience is in life, if that's what you know of life, then you're not hooked up to that abundant life that Jesus paid for. And so many Christians are living in this life that is without, because they've never been taught how to strive for more, to desire more. One thing God has done in me is that I've grown as a Christian. He's grown my desire for things that I never wanted, things that I never cared about. You know, I love to use this example because it was one of my greatest. I hated the color gold, yellow gold. You know what I mean? I hated it. I hated it with a passion. I mean, I didn't want anything to do with it. I had no need for it. I used to want nothing more than just a one-room cabin in the woods. That's what I wanted. That's all that I desired. But since I've become a Christian, God has increased my desire for things, amen, of certain things. Because a lot of people will say, well, why would he want to do that? Because God lives in opulence. God lives in opulence. He lives in beauty. He has paved the streets of heaven with pure gold. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He set the gates of heaven are great big pearls. God's the temple that he had that he told Moses to build or told the Israelites to build was not Moses, but was it David? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Solomon built it, but the one that he told him to build, he said, build it according to the plan, amen, that's in heaven. They showed the plan. Of course, we know the ark, the tabernacle was like that as well, God had them build it the way it was in heaven, and he had them put gold all over the walls. If you can imagine, if this sanctuary is so much smaller than what God's temple was, but they coated the walls in pure gold. Yeah. Why people think it doesn't matter? Of course it does. It absolutely does to God. He created it. He was the one who designed gold, and he was the one who made it valuable. He was the one who put it in the earth. He was the one who made it something that men would seek after. And so this is what I have to say, and this is why I know this. Because if God has given us something to seek after and we refuse, what are we? We're disobedient. Now, I'm not saying, listen, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that the goal of your life needs to be chasing money. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you have to understand who you are in Christ, and you have to understand who he is, amen, before you'll ever understand that. We cannot separate ourselves from that. We look at this beautiful world we have. This message would bother a lot of people. I don't really care, amen. I hope it does bother people, because that's religious spirits that get bothered by excess. God is not afraid of excess. What God does not like is he doesn't like it when his people just sit around coveting it all the time. Amen. There's just, I want it. I want it. I need it. I need it. I need it. But I'm going to tell you this, and I know this is a fact, that coveting happens more in poverty than it ever does in wealth. Why? Well, number one, we have way more people that are impoverished than we do that are in wealth. And people, what do people do that are usually, if you've ever been there, I know I've been there myself, but if you've ever been poor, what do people do who have nothing? They sit there thinking about how they're going to get it, right? They sit there, how are we going to pay our bills? That's coveting. It's the same thing. It's no different than sitting there saying, well, I just want to hoard more money, hoard more money, hoard more. That's what it is. It's coveting. It's the same exact thing. Why? Because it becomes the object of our affection. It's the thing that we're after. It's the thing that we're thinking about. God does not want us thinking about these things in the sense he doesn't want us worrying about it and striving over it. God does not mind things. Actually, God is the creator of making things look nice. You know, reason we have cleanup days and stuff like that at the church is because it matters to God. God will move less in a place that is falling apart and nasty because God doesn't operate in that kind of situation. And that's why we do things at our house. That's why we try to keep our cars nice. That's why we do everything within our power to keep what we have looking the way that God would want it to look. It matters to him. And you can't look through the Bible very far and find out that it doesn't anything other than that. It matters to God. It matters to God. Amen. And so we need to understand these things. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we understand the opposite of that. The steal, kill, and destroy is from the devil. We understand that that's not what God wants. And so, things that are falling apart in people's lives, amen, that is not what God desires. If there is anything that should describe the Christian life, it is abundant. Yeah. If there is one word I could say that should describe a Christian's life, it should be abundant. I am not just talking about all the stuff that you have. I'm talking about abundance. You know what I love about following the Lord? I can't stop things from happening good to me. I said I can't stop it. I can't stop it. Just like you can't stop something bad happening. I can't always stop that. Praise the Lord. God can show us so. But I can't stop God's blessing on me. I can't stop when I serve God, when I do what's right. You know, what does Luke 6:38 says? It says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He doesn't say that he said it shall be given to you. Praise the Lord. You can't stop somebody giving something to you. Praise the Lord. When somebody gives something to you, they just give it to you. Amen. We don't like that around cold and flu season, do we? Somebody gives it to you and you didn't want to take it, but you got it anyways. Is there anyone who signed up for cold or flu? Praise the Lord. No, but when it's given, it's the same thing with the blessing of God. Actually, the Bible tells us it'll chase us down. It'll run us over. Amen. It'll overcome us, God's blessing. What do you think running over is? Running over is a bit of a freak. Have you ever filled a cup to overflowing? It's a freak out moment. Amen. You know what I'm saying? But God doesn't stop pouring. This is what I love about God. When you serve God, you put your cup down on the table and he starts pouring. You're like, okay, God, that's good. And he keeps pouring. He's just looking at you. You say, okay, God, that's good. And he's still pouring. You're like, wait a minute, it's running over. Grab the towels. What am I going to do? Get buckets, hallelujah, because it's running over. Every miracle that God did, there was abundance left over. Amen. When he fed the people, well, he didn't just give them enough. He didn't just give them enough to be full. He gave them enough to be full and then and baskets worth afterwards. Yeah. The same thing when Jesus turned the water into wine. It wasn't just enough for the feast. It was more than enough. It was abundant because our God is an abundant God. But see, people, I said, well, that's all stuff. But it matters to God, apparently. Stuff matters to God. Amen. Your stuff matters to God. He cares about what you care about. Yeah. Have you ever had this? And I coming from a place of poverty, I understand this. Have you ever been to that place where you just something on your heart and you're just like, man, it would bless me so much to have that. Yeah. It would bless God to have you have that. Yeah. Because our God is a God of abundance. Yeah. He makes a way, amen? Yeah. I love to use this example. This just happened to me recently. It blesses me to honor God when I stand in the pulpit by dressing a certain way. Yeah. Amen. I like to get dressed. Now, I'm not a suit person normally. I don't like to wear, you can ask my wife, I could wear the same pair of jeans over and over and over again, the same flannel shirt over and over and over again, and it doesn't bother me. In fact, I prefer it. Amen. But when I come preaching God's pulpit, when I preach into his people, I want to honor the Lord just like he had the priests. Amen. And so this is the way that I like to do it, prefer. So when I like to have nice clothes when I'm honoring God, amen? Praise the Lord. Well, one thing I've learned over the years is that with clothes, it definitely matters what you wear. There's a difference. Walmart doesn't sell suits, but if they did, they would stink. They would just be terrible. I'm just telling you the truth right now. They'd be uncomfortable. They wouldn't fit right. All that stuff. Amen. But you know what? One of my favorite things is flannels. I love flannel shirts. But you know what happens with cheap flannels? You dry them one time and they won't fit Ezra now. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying a flannel that was too big on me, I dry it one time and it won't fit my daughter. Now, what's up with that? It's because it's cheap. You know what happens? One time I got a really expensive flannel on sale or got it for Christmas or something like that. Still the same size. It's amazing they're still the same size. Praise God. Hallelujah. But anyway, I like to honor the Lord with my dress. Not my dress, but the way I dress. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because I don't wear dresses. Amen. I'm not one of those kind of preachers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I might have at one time. I might have. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. I didn't ever wear a dress, but I threatened to, but I never did. I just did it for shock value, but praise God. But anyway, I liked it with the way that I dress. And so I was about to go on a trip. We were up at the Walden Galleria in Buffalo looking for something for my wife. And I said, I'm going to go for a walk down here. We had to wait for a little bit. And I wanted to go for a walk down the mall. And I went for a walk down the mall. And there's a store called Joseph A. Banks. And that's most of my suits come from. Amen. And they're nice suits. Praise the Lord. They have nice clothing, but they have different levels of suits. Amen. Now, I've never paid full price for a suit there, and I wouldn't. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe once I did. Glory to God. But I generally wouldn't pay full price for suits, but they have quite a wide range of suits. And one of them, I went into the store to get a tie, to look for a tie, see if they had anything on clearance. I always check their clearance because I get good deals on their clearance, amen? And so I went in there, and I went in and found a tie, and I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. I like this tie. It looked pretty cheap. I was going to get it for like $20 or something like that, like a, you know, an $80 tie for $20. I think that's a pretty good deal. And I was going on a trip, so I decided to take it up to the counter, and the guy said to me, he said behind the counter, he's like, let me check something. You a member of our rewards? I said, yeah. And he said, let me check something real quick. And he punched in my number and started looking at it. And he's like, you got $150 in expired dollars that I'll give you right now that you can spend. Amen. And he said, plus you got 50 that are still valid. So he said, if you go back and find some more stuff, you can use that up. And I'm like, well, praise the Lord, I'll go back. So one thing I did, went back, I called my wife. I said, I think I can get this one suit. The suit was marked down. It was on clearance. It was a $1,000 suit. And I thought I was going to get it for like a couple $100. So I was pretty excited because you can't go buy a junk suit at JCPenney's for a couple $100. And so I went there and I grabbed the suit, tried it on. Yeah, this is the right size and everything. And just have to have some tailoring done to it. So I brought it up. Talking about $1,000 suit for a couple $100. The guy tells me, he's like, starts punching in, he's like, you're gonna have some money left over if you're gonna get this suit, so you, if you want to go find some more things, maybe a couple more ties. And so I did. I was like, all right, okay. So I went back and I found a couple more ties. I got Caleb. I said, Caleb, you need a couple ties? He's like, yeah, I need a couple ties. I said, pick out a couple ties because they don't even have enough ties that I liked in the clearance section. So I said, pick a couple. So we go back up and he's like, yeah, you still have a few bucks. You want to just let it go? I said, no, I want to use it. Praise the Lord. So I went back and I found a pocket square, amen, a $30 pocket square. Got it. I gave it up. They ring up. The full total came to $1.23. Tell me the favor of God doesn't follow you. Amen. Why? Because I desire to honor God with the way that I dress, so he makes sure I can do it cheaply. Amen. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, some people say they get mad at preachers who wear $1,000. I don't care. There's preachers who wear way more than that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll get them for $1.23 and a bunch of ties. I don't care. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's how our God works. He's abundant. Whatever you desire, whatever you care about. Pastor Michael told me this recently. Whatever you, he said, whatever you make important in front of God, he will make sure that it's important in front of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's super abundant. Amen. And you don't got to like $1,000 suits. It has nothing to do with the amount. But the idea is that you can't stop the blessing from coming to you. Amen. I could have walked out there and said, yeah, I don't want any of that blessing. But that's not the way that I work. Amen. I want the blessing of God. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Romans 8. Praise the Lord. Super abundant God, amen. I love that. He's super abundant. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe I'm the only one that's excited, but I'm excited about a super abundant God, amen. Everything he showed us was in abundance. Everything that Jesus did was abundance. I have to even think that walking on water was abundant. Why did he need to walk on water? I don't know why he needed to walk on water. Why did he let Peter walk on water? He didn't need to. There was no earthly reason for Peter to walk on water other than faith. But there was no earthly reason for him to do it. Praise the Lord. It wasn't like he was sinking. He wasn't the only one he was saving out of the boat. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that's who he is. He does. He's an exceedingly abundant God. Amen. Romans 8:31. Glory to God. And we'll read through verse 34. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's a pretty profound statement right there that we read over. We get happy about once in a while. If God be for us, who could be against us? But do we really think about what that means? If God is for us, then nobody can be against us. There's nothing that can come against you when God is for you. There's nothing that can rob you when God is for you. When you have the creator of everything, it doesn't matter if something was stolen from you, God can multiply. He can make it new if you need it. He can bring it back to you. Listen, Elijah, he sent him to the woods and he had the crows or ravens. He had them bringing him meat. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He didn't even have to move. Look, why do you think God did that as an example that I will take care of you if you just trust me? If you'll go do what I tell you to do, if you go sit where I tell you to sit, it'll be a peaceful place, first of all. Second of all, I will take care of you while you're in that place. That's called an abundant God, amen? That's somebody who cares about every little thing, amen? Praise the Lord, because he could have fed Elijah with manna, but would he give him meat? And who doesn't love meat? Other than my wife. Praise the Lord. Who doesn't love meat? We want meat. Amen. More meat. Give me more meat. Amen. I love going to the Brazilian. You ever been to a Brazilian barbecue place? Praise the Lord. I just recently went to one with my pastor. I love those Brazilian barbecue places. They come around with swords. They come around with swords and they got meat on those swords. And they got these guys running around with swords, with meat on the swords, all different kinds of meat. And they come up to your table and they say, you want some of this meat? And you're like, nah, I think I want the other meat. So they just walk by and then another guy comes up. Yeah, give me some of that. Oh, give me a little bit more. And so they're sitting there carving it off for you, meat. And these guys just circle the place like vultures with meat in their hands. And they come up to your table and they slice off the expensive meat. You know, it's all the real pricey. Got with fillets and they got like lamb chops and they got all these things on there. Praise the Lord, that tastes good. Hallelujah. My wife wouldn't be excited about that. But that's exactly what it is. They have all these. But that's the way our God is. Amen? These Brazilian barbecue places don't get busy and make a lot of money because they go around with swords with broccoli on them. You know what I mean? They don't go around with swords with eggplant hanging. I do like eggplant, but come on. I don't want somebody prancing around with eggplant and some of them probably prance. I don't know. But you know, we don't prance, but praise the Lord. They have meat. Meat's expensive. Amen. That's the thing that everybody's after. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God was after it too. And he fed Elijah. He said, here, just have all you need. Just sent birds. He airdropped it to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Apple invented airdrop. It was God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It says all things. It doesn't say something else. It says all things. He wants to freely give us all things. Where's the end to all things? I'm going to tell you something. There is no end to all things. All things is more than you need. All things is more than you can desire. Praise the Lord. All things is a cup running over. This is our God. He's a running over God. So why don't we understand it yet? See, and this is an area, praise the Lord, that doesn't understand the abundance of God. This is an area where Walmart's the excitement. I'm just telling you the truth. And I don't have anything against going to Walmart. We go to Walmart, buy stuff, praise the Lord. But I don't get excited about it. I never get excited about it. They have stuff there, but I don't get it. You know, I never really get excited. I mean, some stuff I suppose I do. But you know, it's like Home Depot. It's just what you need, maybe enough to tickle your fancy, but nothing to really abundantly. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is all things God. He's a super abundant God. He's an overflowing God. And we need to understand this. And it does matter for a lot of things, and we'll get to why, amen, in a minute. Praise the Lord. And it's not just so you can sit around fat and happy and rich and having somebody feed you grapes while you kick back on your, you know, your $10,000 chaise lounge. Praise the Lord. That's not what it's all for. And we're going to see that here. Amen. Who shall bring a charge against, who should bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So listen, Jesus is up there making intercession. In context, this is talking about him giving us all things, that God is for us. Jesus is up there making intercession. If I intercede for you, praise the Lord. Sometimes you have to, you know, if you're a parent, you have to go intercede for your kids at the, well, hopefully not, but if they're in the principal's office, you're going to go there and you're going to plead their case. Amen. That's what Jesus is doing. He's interceding. He's the lawyer. He's the one who's sitting there for us saying, hey, I paid for this. Amen. And it says that he's going to give us all things. That's what God's goal is. It's to bless us. He wants us to be completely blessed. But he doesn't want that blessing to have us. So, you know, God wants us completely blessed, but he also wants us to be a blessing. Just the same, God wants you to be able to, you know, to people are so, because, and what this does, and this is what a poverty mindset does, is it makes people stingy. Because people who are blessed won't be people who give. Or people who aren't blessed, people who are poor, they're not people generally who are getting it done. They're not the ones who are out there, you know, creating the, paying off the church buildings. They're not the one who's buying groceries in line. They're like, man, I could just barely afford the few things that I have. I certainly am not going to buy somebody else's. And that's what God wants for us. Yeah. See, this is why God wants us blessed, because there's a work to get done, and we can't do it if we're poor and miserable. Right. You can't do it. God wants us, he wants us abundant. He wants us living abundantly. The Bible says enough left over to give into every good work. So he wants our needs supplied, our desires supplied, with enough left over to give into every single good work. Amen. We should be fighting each other to take care of things that need to be taken care of. That tax bill, we should be fighting each other to take care of it. Praise the Lord. I'm not lying. Amen. Whatever the issue is, wherever we're blessed, we should be fighting to take care of these things. But instead, there's so many people in the church. There's like, well, another offering. Can I really do that? Were we really going to raise money for this and that? Yeah. You don't think God has something for us to do? No, he wanted us to just get together and sit in church and get stale. Because that's what the work of the Lord is. What did Jesus do? He took it to the world. We're going to see this more. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want to skip ahead too much to the end. Praise the Lord. But he's making intercession for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope does not disappoint. What is hope in the Bible? It is expectation of good from God. Hope does not, expectation of good from God does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, praise the Lord, by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. In other words, the Holy Spirit within us is yearning. He's telling us, he's constantly just desiring to say, go do this, go fulfill this for somebody else, praise the Lord. Do you know what it's like? We have an example. Just the other day was my father-in-law's birthday, praise God. The other day, it was my father-in-law's birthday, and I called him to wish him happy birthday. I didn't have any plans, but as we were talking, he was just talking to me, you know, we hadn't really spent a lot of time around each other recently, and I said, hey, can I buy you lunch today? And he said, sure, yeah, that'd be great. So I said, okay, after I drop Ezra off, I'll come up and pick you up. And so I did that. I went and picked him up, and we went for a little ride, and as we were together, he was talking about this new project he was doing, and he was considering buying a little table saw, amen? Aaron, stay away from them. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But we won't buy Aaron one. But he wanted to buy a new table saw. Amen. Or he didn't have one. And he said, yeah, we were going to go get this one at Home Depot, but they didn't have it. And we were going to wait till Saturday to go do it. And so I checked online real quick, and I text my wife. I said, did you buy your father a present yet? Because it's just stirred in my heart. Got a Holy Spirit on the inside of me, you know. It stirred in my heart, and I said to my wife, I said, did you buy your dad his present yet? And she's like, no, I didn't. I said, don't. I'm going to get him something. And so she's, you know, we have a good relationship like this. See, I can just go spend a couple $100 and she trusts me. Yeah. Why? Because I live trustworthy with money. And I trust her. She comes, she'll tell me I spent this much money. I said, I don't care. You never have to tell me how much money you spend because I trust her. Because we've learned to do that, amen. At any rate, so I said to him, I said I wanted to take him up to, I decided to take him to Erie for lunch because there was a good place I knew that would really bless him up there. See, that's what I was doing. I was looking for a way to bless him, yeah. Amen. And the Holy Spirit was revealing things to me. And so we go into. I said, hey, do you mind if we stop at Home Depot real quick up here? And I had already checked; they had one there. And he said, no, yeah, we can do that. And I said, okay. So we were walking in there. I said, hey, I want to go down this way. And so I started heading towards the tools. And he didn't. He had no idea that this was going to happen. As we're walking towards the tools, he said, oh, I want to go look and see if they have that table saw here. And so we went down there and looked, and he's like, yeah. And he looked at it and was like, it was like $130 or something like that. And so I was getting ready to buy it. And then all of a sudden he's like, well, wait, man, this one over here. And instantly I was like, ooh, I was spending on that. But this one is a lot more. And it was like closer to 200. And he's like, but maybe this would be better. He said, what do you think? At this point, he still doesn't have any idea because nobody's done this stuff for him. And so, he says he likes it. I said, yeah, I agreed with it. I said, this is the one you need. And so I grabbed it, put it in the car. I said, Renee and I are buying it for you. And you just couldn't believe, you just couldn't imagine how happy it made him. Why do I tell this story? Because that's an example of the love of God being shed abroad in our heart. Hope doesn't disappoint. See, why did I spend that? Because I knew that I could. Because I have a super abundant God who will never let me go without when I want to bless somebody else. Now, I didn't just have $200 laying around that I was ready to just go spend on a random gift. Praise the Lord. But what do we know? When you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you'll know what you can do. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit is always yearning. He's always trying to get you to reach out for a little bit more. But see, so many people pull back when it's time to give. And the thing is God says, God's heart is always that you reach for it, that you lunge for it, that you're racing each other to the blessing. Amen? Because blessing people is what blesses God. And when you bless people, he says, give and it'll be given to you. Praise the Lord. Not just what you brought in. And that's why so many people go without because they withdraw because they think, well, I never can. I never can. If you're a Christian who says I can't, then you don't know the word.
That's right.
The Bible says that we always can. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does it mean that Christ strengthens you? It means he gives you the ability to do it. Amen. That doesn't mean you can jump off a building. You got to keep it in context. Amen. It means when you're doing the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. And see, that's exactly what it was. You say that was your father-in-law. Yeah, but I was shining the light. I was showing him the light, love and light of Christ because nobody else would do that for him. They could not, him and my mother-in-law could not even imagine that somebody would be willing to do that to them. They couldn't even fathom it. See, the world needs to be full of Christians that are like that. And I don't just do it for him. I would do it for anybody. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Romans 10:11 says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Amen. That's another heavy statement. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. What does put to shame mean? Put to shame means that you believed God for something. You believed that you could go do this and you went out and did it. And now it looks all bad for you because you everything failed and fell apart. See, that's exactly what the lie of the devil does. It tries to tell us that we can't do what God has us to do. And that's why people live poor. That's why they live in poverty. One of the first things that Jesus said he was here to do was to preach the gospel to the poor. Why? Because the gospel puts something in them they didn't have before. It puts the very power of God, the ability to increase, the ability to reach for things that they could never reach for before. Listen, it is not faith unless you are reaching for something that you can't do on your own, because that's exactly what faith is, and that's exactly what God has for us and wants for us, is to constantly and continually reach for things that we can. Now, we got to keep this in context. That doesn't mean just go rack up a bunch of credit card debt like a fool, buying stuff and jewelry and everything, you know, $1,000 suits to make yourself. That's not what it's saying. But this is why it's important to get acquainted with the Holy Ghost. And if you get acquainted with the Word, see, here's the thing. You will never listen to the Holy Ghost if you don't get acquainted with the Word. Because you can't. Because the Holy Ghost will never tell you not to bless somebody when it's time to bless somebody. He will never tell you that you can't. In fact, one of the biggest problems in the church is that every single person in the church doesn't make it their goal to pay off that building. One of the single biggest things in every single church is that there isn't people that are saying, I want to make sure, I want to be the one who does this. This is my wife and I, our goal. This is our heart. Not just our goal that we put out there for other people to do. We're saying, Lord, you bring it to us and we will do it. Amen. There will not be a question about it. Amen. But we're not going to be proven in the bigger things unless we be proven in the smaller things. And so if we don't start with a little bit. Listen, what does it take to start a little? I got my leaders together this year, and I said, I expect that every single one of you, if you're in the leadership of my church, I expect that you do something in every offering that we take up. I expect it. Why do I expect it? Because it doesn't take much to do a little bit. But if you do a little bit in faith, it adds a lot to you. It adds a lot to the... If you say, Lord, I don't know. I can't physically pay off the building, but I'm going to start with this dollar I have. Everybody's got a dollar, and if you don't, you'll have one soon. A quarter. It doesn't matter where you start at. This is exactly where my wife and I, we said, we're going to start with this. See, this is the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is getting the things done. It's not just about having the nicest stuff, but it is about blessing God and showing people. But see, we have to have people that strive for it and reach for it, or they'll never have it. They'll never obtain. Right. Amen? Right. Praise God. Look at Hebrews 11:6. And again, I'm preaching what's in Scripture. Yeah. Some people, I know they must avoid this stuff. Praise God. Yeah. But we're not going to. That's right. Praise God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. Yeah. What is faith? That assurance that you won't be disappointed. Why? Because hope doesn't disappoint. That's what faith is. Faith is hope. Yeah. Amen? It's expectation of good. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But without faith, it is impossible. I have that blocked off, that phrase right there blocked off. I mean, put a square around it. Amen? In my Bible. But without faith, it is impossible. What's impossible? Everything's impossible without faith. Yeah. Yeah. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We see that word reward in there. Praise God. In fact, give me a pen right now, real quick, if I can. Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't have this outlined in my Bible yet. Praise the Lord, and I want to make sure I do it. Because I'm going to do it right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is a rewarder. He rewards those. What is a reward? A reward is something that you desire. A reward is something that means something to you. Praise God. Those guys coming around with those skewers of meat, those swords of meat on them, was a great and mighty reward for me. Praise the Lord. Because I'm sitting there, I'm sitting there hungry. Praise God. And those come around, and I feel blessed when someone comes around with a skewer of meat that I want. In fact, when they didn't bring around the right ones, we said, you know, you've been bringing around all this meat, and we appreciate that. But I really, see, this is not something that unexcessive people do. You know, in poverty, you go to a third world country, they don't pass by just any skewer of meat. Yeah. We're like, we would rather have this one over here. Yeah. So don't tell me you don't know what abundance is. We all know what abundance is. If you ever eat at a restaurant, you get to pick on the menu. Yeah. Yeah. Poverty does not let you pick. Right. Poverty, they eat what they get. You know, there's places in the Bible, it talks about these people who are so poor, they were grinding up the bones of animals and eating it for something. Yeah. I haven't had to do that yet. I was passing good meat, passing it on. No, just take it somewhere else. We want something else. Yeah. But you know, that wouldn't reward my wife. If she was sitting there, she would want the skewer of broccoli or something. You know what I mean? Like something green or something like that, some kind of grass clippings, praise the Lord. She'd want them skewered on there. That would bless her, but the meat wouldn't bless her. It wouldn't be a reward to her. Listen, God isn't rewarding those. We're going to get real spiritual about it. God's going to reward me with something that He wants to reward me with, but not something that would really bless me or whatever. Come on. Praise the Lord. All these scriptures point to the same stuff. God blessing people abundantly. God is an abundant God. He wants you to have more than enough. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll turn to me to John 14:12. Praise God, hallelujah. John 14, 12. I thought, man, maybe I'll finish early, but I'm not anywhere near the end, so. Praise God, hallelujah. This section in my Bible, we're going to read 12 through verse 14. It's called the answered prayer. The answered prayer. And I put this above that title of mine. Above the word answered, I put an arrow and it says his part. And then I put an answer above, or an arrow above prayer and I put ours. Prayer is our part. Asking is our part. The answer is God's part. We ain't got to make it come to pass. And see, this is why so many people struggle with Christian prosperity, because they're trying to make it happen. But you can't make it happen. You don't bring it to pass. You trust God with it. You put it out there. Trust God. Do what your part is, but you don't make it come to pass. He's the one who does. Amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father, making intercession for us. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Praise the Lord. So we see this. Jesus is telling us that we have to ask in his name. But first of all, you aren't going to ask if you don't have faith. You won't ask for that thing. See, a person who doesn't have faith, listen, a person, you say, Lord, give me the ability to pay off the church building. But you don't do anything to add to it. Why do I keep bringing it up? Because it's the work of the Lord. Yeah. He said, the works that I do. What did Jesus do? He went around establishing people. Yeah. The exact same thing that we're doing. Amen? Right. If you don't put something towards it, if you don't start, I'm not talking about just that, but if you don't move towards that goal by actually putting something towards it, that's why I told my leadership, this is what I expect of you, because I expect them, I want them all blessed too. Yeah. They're the ones doing it, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But if they're not moving towards it, they'll never get there. Right. You have to make it a priority. You have to make God's house, God's work, you have to make the things God's doing a priority to say, listen, this means something. Well, people want the greater works. They want the things, you know, they want great and mighty healings, but they don't want to do what the early church did. Look what the early church did. They gathered together. They didn't call anything their own. They shared everything. Everything. There was people that sold land, and brought the money. Listen, if I sold land, we don't have the place to live. The early church, there was people who evidently had the ability to sell land, still live, and bring something to the church. Glory to God. That's an abundant God. But that's why they saw amazing miracles. That's why they saw amazing healings. Why? Because all of this stuff is attached. People who don't live in abundance won't do the work of the Lord. Praise God. It's just the truth. It won't happen. Amen. But Jesus said, he said, whatever you have to believe him. He says, I say to you, he who believes in me, believes in who God is. That's the same thing that it's saying in Hebrews 11, 6. You have to believe in who God is. Not just that God is a God, that he's up there, but that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You have to believe that. It has to be so in you that there is never a moment where you're afraid, when you know you got to move on something, that you're not afraid at all to go ahead and move on that thing, because you know God wants you to do it. When God, listen, God has brought so many things before us. Praise the Lord. He's brought so many things before us. Can you just go turn down that heat? He's brought so many things before us that we don't, that we didn't have any idea how we were going to do. We didn't have any idea how we, the 2 years ago, God put it on my heart to bring the church $5,000. We had no ability to bring the church that kind of money. We just said, you know what we did? We said, Lord, we'll do it, because it's on our hearts to do it. It was on my heart. My wife agreed with it. So we just started doing it. We brought it $5, $10 at a time. That's what we did. How long does it take to get to $5,000 doing $5, $10 a time? Well, it took us only 3 months. At first, it seemed like we went a whole month, just a few bucks here and there, whatever we could give towards it. But see, God, he met up with us. He was a super abundant God, and he poured it in the ability. And even at the time, I was believing for something that cost the same amount of money, and that thing came just afterwards. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why? Because God is that kind of God. God does care about the things. But see, what he wants our focus so on him that we're not focused on all the stuff. But God does, he does want us to recognize what matters to him. Amen. And these things, the way that he's made this earth, the way he's made things to work, it all matters to him. God put every gemstone that exists in the earth. Have you ever seen a shortage of beautiful gemstones? I mean, you go to a jewelry store and you just look and they have this color and that color and this shine and everybody, just for everybody. God thought about you. He said, you know what? You don't like blue, but you love green. You might not like green, but you love red. Praise the Lord. So he's made beautiful gemstones to match your, praise God. I started desiring a tiger eye ring. Just something really small. I mean, just something really, God brought it. Praise the Lord. It gave me the ability. And guess what? Got a huge discount on it too. Didn't pay a lot of money, but it's beautiful. I look at it, I think, man, it just speaks of our Heavenly Father because it's just another thing that he created. He put it in the earth. That one little stone put in the earth. You realize what as big as the earth is. And you got one little stone this big and he put it in the earth and somebody found that and polished it up and made it just right. God thought of me when he did that. That's where God is. Praise God. I don't know about you, but you know, we should probably be running or something. I mean, it's just an exciting thing, amen? It's exciting to think that our God doesn't want us broke and poor. But people got to know it. And they won't know it unless they're taught it. You know, this came to me this afternoon as I was meditating on this stuff. This phrase came to me. I heard this in my spirit. If you can't believe God for lesser, how will you ever believe him for greater? In connection, he said, greater works than these will you do. If we can't believe him for even the least little bit, if we can't believe him for the smallest little bit, praise God. If you can't even believe God to pay your bills, then how are you ever going to believe him for bigger? If you can't ever believe God, if you're not faithful enough to step, if you can't even believe God, that God will give you the direction, that he will give you the ability to speak somebody, and you will step out and move towards that person, not knowing what you're going to say. Not knowing what you're going to say. I mean, step out towards somebody and say, you know what? Just because I am who I am, praise the Lord. I love it. I love the story Aaron, we got from Melissa and Aaron back there. Praise God. Aaron decided to run his finger through or thumb through a table saw. Right? That was a trip to the hospital, right? He went in the ambulance? Okay, yeah. So he went to got to ride in the ambulance. But you know what he did? He was witnessing to the woman in the paramedic in the ambulance. Why? Because God has done something in his life, and so he's bringing it out. But see, we need to not hold back on those things, but we need to trust God for the greater works. Amen? There'll be those times where there'll be a work that you'll be standing in the line at Walmart, and all of a sudden in your spirit you'll hear, buy that person's groceries. Or there'll be something in you, it's like, oh, I just got to do this. Praise God. Are you going to step out and doing it? Because here's the thing, money does speak to the world. It shouldn't speak to Christians, but it does speak to the world. And what I mean it shouldn't speak to Christians is it should never be something that holds you back. It should be never something that you have to give attention to or give heed to. That's the way it should be for a Christian. Yeah, amen. But yet Christians are living just like the world. Why is that? Because they don't believe the word of God. They don't believe what the word says. They don't realize that when it's time to step out, it's time to step out. You just do what you got to do because God told you to do it. Amen. If you can't believe God for lesser, how will you ever believe God for greater? It'll never happen. This is why when we talk about people that are training in ministry and stuff like that. Listen, in the family churches, when you train for ministry, you go through a period of hell. You do. Why is that? Because you have to. Because we're not going to send weak-bellied preachers out there who the first wind blows and they fall down. You've got to be able to stand because I'm going to tell you something. There's winds blow that when you're a pastor or a minister, there's winds blow that the congregation never even feels. You're standing there at the helm, folks, taking it. And if you can't handle the lesser, if you can't handle what's going on now, you will never handle greater. You won't. And so God won't move you. But that's why we do that. Why? Because we don't want churches that just up and fold, up and fold, up and fold. We ain't going to have that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm thankful that I was trained under those circumstances. Why? Because now I can stand. And there's times where even I have sat there and I haven't wanted to stand. But I'm telling you, we make it through because of that training. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you can't believe God for lesser, how will you ever believe him for greater? It won't happen. That's a profound statement. Amen? It's not because it came from me. It didn't. James 1, chapter 1, verse 4. Let's turn there. Praise God. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 4. read through verse 8. But let patience have its perfect work. Whew! Ouch! Let patience have its perfect work. You know what patience is doing? It's working something. I said patience is working something. If you don't have something, you've been doing everything you can. You've been throwing every bit of faith at it. You've done everything that you know to do, and you sought God, and you know you've done everything that you know to do, and you're still not seeing it. Guess what? It's time for patience. It's time to wait, because it's having a perfect work in you. Sometimes God will allow you to go without for a time, 4 months, 4 years. My wife and I know, we've known it for years, going without. We're still going out with some things that we should have right now. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Not because of our lack of faithfulness, but we're waiting for it. Patience is having its perfect work. Why? That we learn to rely on God and only God. Amen. Even in a church, you can't rely on people. You have to rely on God. Even as a pastor of a church, I can't rely on people. I'm not saying because we don't have good people. I'm saying because if my relying starts being on people, they will fail. Because people fail. Nobody can rely. You can't rely on me. Amen. You have to rely on God. You have to believe God for me. That's why we pray for our pastors. Right? That's why we uphold the ministers. Amen. Because it's important. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. What's God's goal? Lacking nothing. What's God's goal? Lacking nothing. I mean, think about that. This whole concept of Christians, that it's more blessed to be poor, the more blessed to be without, then God says that if you have patience and you trust Him. But see, there's some key points in there. Trusting Him, believing Him to the end, not being moved because it doesn't look like you have it, because you're going to have patience. You'll become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It says lacking nothing. That means nothing. Amen. Lack is pretty simple. We all understand what lack is, right? But then it goes on to say, if any of you lacks wisdom, this is one thing that He doesn't want you to lack. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, praise the Lord, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Well, what do we understand about wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to understand, to know how to take care of something. If you don't know how to pay your bills, wisdom would tell you how to. If you don't know how to make it through this situation, wisdom will tell you how to. If you won't know how to come up with a way to go on vacation or come up with a way to pay off the church or to pay off your own house, praise the Lord, wisdom will tell you how. Wisdom always leads us in. What does it say? Wisdom is one thing God won't let us lack in. That's what it says. Let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach. He'll liberally give you wisdom. He's just going to pour it out. See, a lot of people, they fail because they never go to God for wisdom. They say, how do we ask God? Well, you can ask God. You pray, of course. But God isn't going to give you wisdom if you won't even get in your word. Christians who don't even open a Bible, those are Christians that will never be full. Those are Christians that will starve. Why do we put so much emphasis on the word? Because God is not going to teach you. He is not going to tell you by the Spirit what He has written down in His Word already. He will speak to you as you read it, but He's not going to come to you and say, well, you know, you had the Bible, you had the chance to read it, but you didn't read it. See, Christians have taken this attitude. Why do you think some denominations block Christians from reading it? Because they don't want them to be blessed in the things. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't want your people to read the Word, you're a fool. Either a fool or you're working with the devil. It's one of the two. We want people to read the Word. The Word is so incredibly important. But Christians that won't open their Word, there will be Christians that go without. They'll sit there and cry and whine because they go without. But the whole truth is, the answer is right here. I'm reading you the answers right now for an abundant life. Every scripture that I've given you today, if you get no other scriptures, you can live an abundant life just off of this message. You should never go without. Praise the Lord. You should never fail if you just listen to these scriptures. Praise the Lord. You can put these in. You get them so into you that's what comes out when something comes to attack. But see, if you're not, then it's your own fault. It's not God's. Praise the Lord. He is not going to give you answers if you won't read his word. Amen? Because God doesn't work like that. Isn't that annoying? I mean, can you imagine a teacher saying there, well, I'm okay, today you're going to have a test. Amen? Because the state makes teachers give tests, right? My wife's a teacher. Does the state make teachers give tests? Okay. So the state makes teachers give tests. So they're going to give a test. All the kids come and say, you know what? I didn't study. I didn't do any of this. The teacher says, oh, that's all right. I'll give you the answers. It'd be stupid, wouldn't it? So why do people think God's like that? Why do people think that God's like, oh, I won't give your word the time? Do you know what hell people had to go through to deliver this book to us? There are so many people that paid with their lives to have this book, and Christians today can't even pick it up. They won't pick it up. And the reason they won't pick it up is because they're more full of the devil. They want it easy, just like everything else in life. They want to hand it to them. But God doesn't work that way. He will bring us things. He will hand things to us when we are prepared, when we prepare ourselves, when we do something. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is what? Like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. See, it's the same thing with abundant life. If you doubt, you can do that. I'm just telling you. If the pastor talks about an offering and you have doubt in your head, that's the devil speaking to you. And if you listen to that, you're partnering with him. That's exactly what it's about. It's about if you know in your spirit you need to do something, if you're sitting there and you need to help somebody here, or you need to pay for something here, and you don't do it, that's exactly what that is. You're partnering with the devil. You're listening to his words over God's word. You're saying that it means more to you. And the reason that Christians don't do stuff is because they're not full enough of this. And because they're not full enough of this, they can't go out there and do the things that God's called them to do. Jesus said that whatever you ask and believe, it will be done for you. It's a matter of a fact. He said, whatever mountain you speak to, if you have the faith of a mustard seed and you speak to the mountain, it will be gone. It will be moved. That's what Jesus said. So when has that changed? When has that become different? When did the Holy Ghost say, you know what? Maybe we overdid it a little bit, God. Maybe we overdid this Jesus thing a little bit. Maybe we gave Jesus a little too much liberty in what he said. Maybe we need to rein that. That's not what happened. It's never happened. God's given us the word, and the word still remains the same. This same word still moves the mountains if it'll come out of your mouth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Get me fired up. Hallelujah. Look at what it says here. Let not that man, which man? The one who doubts. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. He won't receive anything. Somebody who won't be in faith won't receive anything from God. He didn't just say that thing. He said anything. Praise God. Nothing. God is not looking to bless people who are rejecting his word, who are rejecting everything that he is. And this is what Christians are doing. They're running around. Praise God. Hallelujah. They're running around like people that don't even know what they're doing, don't know who they are, don't know what they're called to, don't know that they can. Can't should never come out of a Christian's mouth. It shouldn't. Can it should be our favorite word. Oh, yes, I can. Amen. Praise the Lord. John 16. Praise the Lord. 23. We're getting close here. John 16, 23 and 24. Praise God. Hallelujah. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Of course, this is a Christian or somebody who's living after the plan of God. Somebody who desires those things that God has for them. Praise the Lord. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Praise the Lord. How many scriptures do we have that say this stuff? 23rd Psalm. He'll lead us by green pastures and still waters. He prepares a table in the midst of my enemies. He feeds us in front of our enemies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When was the last time you see a bunch of soldiers just sit down in the middle of a war? and start eating a meal. Enemies all around them. See, that's what happens to Christians if they know who they are. Praise the Lord. We're going to close with this. Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified. Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. In case you didn't believe it. And you think that God is an abundant God? You don't think that God wants you to, those little things matter to God? Little things, that's just what they are, the little things. But see, it's the little things that move us. Little things don't move God. Amen? We need to be full of the God who moves big things, that moves little things. Little things just roll. They're just there. They just, like a magnet, they just come to you. Amen? Praise God. God wants us blessed. He wants us biggered. He wants us, last week we talked about that, didn't we? We talked about bigger thinking. And here we go again. Just God just bringing the point home. Amen? Praise the Lord. Abundance, bigger. God is a big God. He's a big, big, big God. Amen?